this morning. Wonderful to be here. Name of Jesus, to be worshiping, praising the Lord with the church of God. You see, the church is not only where we serve individually, but the church of God is around the world. Praise God. And I always rejoice when I get an opportunity to come together in fellowship with my fellow brothers from another congregation, because we're all one body, praise God, looking for the same hope and waiting for the day that our Lord Jesus Christ will come to raise his church. And we're here to worship and praise and to let him know through our praises that we love him and we give all of ourselves to him. Praise God. I just as a little minor quick testimony before I introduce my family. It's not even a testimony. It's just to lean to what the pastor said. You know, when we train our children in God's ways, and, you know, there'll always be, you know, just their own individuals, there'll always be a hiccup here and there. But when you instill the word of God and you become an example to them, praise God, they will follow the ways of the Lord. As the Bible says, train the children in the ways of the Lord, and they'll have prosperous life in Christ. I rejoice because my daughters, on their own, when they started working their little part-time, they started giving to the Lord their tithes without us saying anything. And to me, they don't know, but that was a great joy in my heart to know that they honored the Lord in that way. Praise God. So to the point the pastor says, very important that we be example to our children. God bless. My name is Pastor Robert Pinero. To you is Robert Pinero. I am the associate pastor, been the associate pastor for Gospel Tabernacle at Assemblies of God, pastored by Joseph Santos. You might know it's a church up in the hill in Kennedy Boulevard, in which I've ministered as the associate pastor for 12 years. Thank the Lord. And today I'm accompanied by my wife, Nora, and two of my three daughters, Sage with the glasses, and Madison. Praise God. And let's get into the word of God, right? Because the Lord has something to say. As he spoke to me, he also will speak to you. Because the word is life. It brings joy, it brings guidance, and it draws us close to our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to do every day in our lives, even through our struggles. But we know that he's there to lead us there. If you would please stand with me for the reading of the word, which will be actually a short one verse. Praise God. And let's pray for the word. Lord Father, we thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for this time that we come to congregate in your name, Lord. We pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit, Lord, would touch the souls in our hearts today, Lord. So, Lord, raise the level, to raise the bar for our lives in the servitude to you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, there's someone here that does not know you, Lord, that he is visiting, Lord, or just needs, Lord, a touch from you, Lord, that today you will touch them, Lord, and they will come to the house and come to realize, Lord, that you're the only God, the true God that we need to serve. And so I pray for this service. I pray for my brothers and sisters, for the children as they have children's church, Lord, that the word of God will permeate in our hearts, Lord, and draw us to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to read, please open your Bibles to 1 Kings, verse 30, if you will, please. 1 Kings, verse 30. It's a pretty familiar verse and chapter of the Bible, or the story itself. And if you have it, please say amen. Amen. Okay, 1 Kings, chapter 18, verse 30. Then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord. You may be seated. Today the Lord, through his word, not through my word, but through his word, will be speaking to us about our bodies, the altar, and the temple of God. Each day of our lives, we need to be mindful that we are God's people, but more so individually, God's temple. And temple in the Bible means the body. Our body is in servitude to him, and we should be mindful that what we do with this body is supposed to honor God each day in what we do. Some people will be more picky and say every minute, but I have a struggle, just struggling a day, so I'll just stay with the day. Praise God. And so we must praise and honor our Lord and serve the Lord each day of our lives, meaning our bodies, in which His Spirit lives in. See, the Lord's Spirit lives in us if we have been redeemed by His blood. If we have accepted the Lord Jesus, or His Son Jesus, as our Lord and Savior. Paul says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6:9, he says that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in us, whom we have received from Him. In order to receive that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to guide us and to strengthen us each day to do this walk, we must be a body in servitude and in holy and sanctified by Him. Because the only way we could be sanctified is through Him. The only way we truly have a way to truly serve God. You'll see, we'll talk in a few minutes about what the world thinks about serving God. But there's only one true way. There's not many ways to serve God. There's only one true way, and that is through Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, also continuing with this theme of our bodies, that our bodies should be a sacrifice unto God. There, where Paul says in 12:1, tells us that we offer our bodies as living sacrifices. And so we are living sacrifices. Well, Pastor Robert, there's no altars or spoken of altars anymore, because the cross was the altar in which God made His altar, in which He sacrificed His Son for us once and for all. But then in return, or as a cause of that, we are then the altar of the self of the sacrifice unto our Lord each day, praise God, of our lives. And that's what we're supposed to live each day. And to offer our body sacrifice holy and pleasing to God. That is the true and proper worship unto our Lord. You see, many times people tend to know who God is, or think they know who God is, but their living, their bodies had not been offered completely unto the Lord. And so therefore, they're either struggling Christians, or in reality, they're not really Christians at all. It's only by name and not by their servitude unto the Lord of the sacrifice, what they do. We are bodies that are in despair from the time that we are born. In other words, we are born in sin. And so we need repair. We need repair. And Jesus is the only one that can repair us. Romans 5:12 says sin came into the world through one man. And through that one man, that sin came through, death came to man because of sin. And therefore, because death came through that one man, then we are all sinners because we're born into sin. But praise the Lord that we have a Savior. Praise the Lord that we have a Redeemer. Praise the Lord that we don't have to stay in that condition. Praise the living God. Hallelujah. But we thank the Lord that Jesus Christ, His Son, Jesus, our Redeemer, and forgave us for our sins. In these verses that we read that Elijah was about to repair an altar. Elijah was a prophet of God in the northern kingdom of Israel. And just to give you a short, there was two kingdoms, the northern and the southern. Two tribes in the, of that, the 12 tribes, two lived in the southern, 10 lived in the north. And so God sent, as we know, God always sent prophets to help tell the people and to preach to the people their conditions whenever they left the Lord's ways. And so the northern kingdom, at this point, the king Ahab was the king of the northern kingdom. And he had led his people away from serving the Lord. In fact, he led them into serving the king Baal, a king of fertility, a king of the Lord of the rain and dew. And so Elijah was sent to him in this divided kingdom. Now, the Lord never intended for the kingdom to be divided, but like man always wants to do his ways. And we'll see how that plays later on in the repair of the altar. And so Elijah was called into minister because they have fallen away, and they sacrificed to other gods. They no longer sacrificed. As a matter of fact, he says that, as we read, that it needed repair. The altar in which they used to sacrifice was in disrepair. It was neglected. No longer did they sacrifice in the way the commandments had required or how the Lord commanded them. And so they were totally away from the Lord. the nation at that point was in not only disobedience, but in also in denial of the Lord. It's almost like today, and everything we want to take out the Lord, and we wish us to put our ways. If we notice today, the right way is everyone's way. Everything goes. This is what this kingdom wanted. They knew of God. They actually probably knew. In fact, it insinuates in the verses, as you read the whole chapter 18, that they were between two gods, between the true God and the false God. And they didn't know really what to do. But because the king was corrupt, the king was worshiping Baal, then they were probably afraid so they had to continue. Even if they wanted to serve God, they would not be martyrs or sacrifice to God, and they would serve the God of Baal. The Lord calls us today that there will be sacrifices that we must do. We'll have a choice. Either we flow with the secularism of this world, or we flow with the Holy Spirit that Christ has given us to flow unto Jesus Christ and to be the light of this world. It's tough. It's not easy. I dare to say, and I should say with surety, as the Bible says, the Lord is coming. As the Lord is drawing closer and closer, and so is the demons being released on this earth to prevent us from having the relationship with Christ so we can fall aside and not be ready when the Lord comes. But thank the Lord that He is with us. Thank the Lord that we're in victory because we have the Lord who is above all in our hearts and in our lives. The nation at this time, I should even go back. And so there's no difference in this world when the world right now, it's a nation sliding into secular immoral ideas. And this was some fancy words that I found, and in researching the Bible, and it was talking about, you know, in modern times, it would be the Baal of now would be materialism, would be secularism, ecumenicalism, whatever. That word I couldn't pronounce. I'd say it 1,000 times, I couldn't pronounce it. And New Age mysticism. And so, secularism is a separation of state and religious institution. The government or the leaders of this world who do not serve Christ or have God in them, they make an excuse for running the nation godlessly because they say we must separate. That's a religion thing. That goes over there. God should not be separated from anything. God is in all, should be in all, and is in all. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's number one. So the state of separation was never truly meant in the way that man has actually acted upon it through the Constitution. Because the Constitutions were based on biblical principles of this nation. Praise God. And we thank the Lord that still the Holy Spirit is at work and the hand of God is still on this nation, regardless of what we're going through. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're talking about materialism, being comfortable with material things of this world. In other words, material being more important than the spiritual things of God. And he goes this word, ecumenicalism. Somebody can ask if it pronounced it for me. Promoting unity among the churches and religious. I remember clearly in 9/11 when the church in Washington, D.C., all the pastors and all the leaders of religious leaders met at that Washington, D.C. And it was almost an all-inclusive where everybody brought their view and their God into that sermon or into that time of mourning for America. But no one claimed Jesus except, if those who remember that, Billy Graham. When it was time for Billy Graham to up there, he said, and our Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah! Because he knew that God is not just a unified, inclusive of all gods. There's only one true God. And Billy Graham brought it back down to what it should be. There's only one true God, and that's the God that gave us Jesus Christ as a son so that we can be saved. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. The nation, excuse me, at this time was in drought. For Elijah had prayed 3 years before that, about three and a half years before, for drought to come. as part of a by the calling of God, he prayed this, and because it was sort of a punishment for the people that had strayed away from the things of God. And so he was running for 3.5 years. And the king Ahab was after him. After 3.5 years, Elijah said, "It is time to present myself back to the king without fear." You see, very key. He was a man that was running from a king that wanted to kill him. And then God said, "Now go back to the king and tell him, and go speak to him, that I have things for you to show the people of God. I want you to have things for you to tell the people that I am the true God." Thank you, David. And so he went back to the king, and he spoke to the king, and he told the people, he told the king, "I want you to gather the people in a meeting, because I will be speaking to the people." And so Ahab agreed. The Bible doesn't say how this meeting, it says how the meeting came about, but all this anger that all of a sudden Ahab had, Ahab could have by his sword, by his soldiers, killed Elijah at that point. Because according to Ahab, Elijah had cursed the people. And so he says that his God, Baal, would not actually let it rain again until Elijah was destroyed. But you see, what Elijah was, a man that listened to the word of God. Praise God. That's why it's so important that we listen to the word of God. Because that's the only word that will bring us truth and bring us through the trials and tribulation. That when we see it impossible, when we see that it's not going to be a good result, we have to have the faith that Elijah had in God's word. And we must go through, and you will see the light at the end of the tunnel when Christ says, "Oh my Lord, you are my servant, I will protect you. You will fulfill my will because you are faithful to me." Hallelujah. And that was Elijah's situation at the time. But he went. And Elijah, he called on to, "Hey, Ahab." And this must have been very uncomfortable for Elijah, but he nevertheless followed the word of God because God spoke to him. God told him to meet with Ahab. Ahab put the blame, again, on Elijah. But Elijah reminded Ahab that because of his disobedience, you see, the sinner, and when we leave the Lord, you see, Ahab was put there, first of all, by God. But he misused his position. He decided to veer away and decide to serve his own God. Decided to serve other gods instead of the true God. And Elijah was there to remind him that it was not because the drought didn't come because of me. You see? Sometimes the enemy wants to blame us, or we blame ourselves. You see? But sometimes God has a plan. And he allows things to happen because it's a plan. And so when we see something that's not going our way, when we see that we get the blame, don't take the blame. It's all a part of God's plan. All God's asked us to do is to be faithful and loyal to his word and to what he wants for us. And so Elijah told, summons the people. And so Elijah meets the people. Elijah asked the people, asked the people that, they told the people, actually in verse 20, that first he told them that you have faltered unto God. And the word faltered meant that they actually have slid, that you were divided in serving either Baal or God. As a matter of fact, let's read it. So verse 20. And so Ahab was sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions?" You see, the people were wavering between two opinions. They were wavering between the true God and between Baal. And then you had the king forcing them to worship Baal. And so Elijah was going to do a test. Elijah was going to bring something to this nation to show the true God and to bring this opinion unto one.
And if they decide to not change their ways, then there'll be judgment for them. You see, we know God as a loving God. We know God as a God that adores his people that worship. But also our God is a God of judgment. And may I say, of perfect judgment. In other words, when God judges, or when God, as they say, puts the hammer down, he does it perfect. Why? Because he's given mercy before that. He's shown his love. He's given warnings. He's sent prophets. He sends this Holy Spirit. He'll send all he can do to change our minds before his judgment comes. So if judgment comes upon the people, it's because they needed the judgment. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so all the people came to this mountain, because what happened was Elijah wanted all the people gathered, and he was going to ask the Lord, or the Lord spoke to him, that there was going to be a test to show which God is the true God. Now, we don't test God, but Elijah has specific word to do this sacrifice that he was about to do at this altar. And so we got to be careful. We have to listen to God's word and when he speaks to us. So we must not sometimes go on our own tuition, on our own emotion, on our own desires, but go on with the blessings of our Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because that's when the true victory comes. Many times we'll do things, but what happened? What happened was I went on my own. I didn't bring Christ with me. And so we need to understand that we must bring Christ and let him lead us to where he wants us to be and to go. And so now, what Elijah did was to repair this altar, because there was going to be a sacrifice. So he told the people, and actually he told, there was 450 prophets, Baal prophets. You see, because the enemy has prophets too. You see? You know, the Bible speaks about the false prophet that will come in the Antichrist time. You see? And the enemy knows how to emulate and fake his way to be God. Okay? But when God has to put the hammer down and show who's God, he will do it. Because he steps on the serpent's head. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so he was now went to he told the Israelites, or the northern kingdom, or Ahab, and told these prophets, Baal, that bring me two bulls. We're going to sacrifice two bulls. I'm going to sacrifice one to my God, and you're going to sacrifice one to your God. And whichever one is the true God, he will have fire from the heavens come down and just swallow it up and take that and that sacrifice and burn it. And so now the prophets of Baal set this their sacrifice on their altar. And for a day, from morning to evening, they were crying. The Bible says they were crying out loud, talking out loud, worshiping with all zeal. They even cut their hands, blood, their skin, as an ultimate sacrificial sacrifice to have their God Baal, which is the God of rain and dew, okay, to come and the God of weather, basically, to come and take that sacrifice and burn it completely. Well, we know that we could turn blue, or we see those religions in the world, those cults, turn blue, crying out for their God, and their God never shows up. And many times how their God shows up is they themselves killing themselves. As we've seen in many occasions, these cult leaders, like Waco, like the old Jones from South Africa, trying to be seeking their God, but no answer comes. And they had no choice but to just say, okay, that means God wants us to kill ourselves. And they kill themselves. But that's not the true God. Because our true God brings life. Amen. Our true God is life. Our true God brings peace. Our God brings victory. Our God brings hope. Our God brings salvation. Our God brings the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Unto our lives. Praise the living God. Hallelujah. And so now they were yelling, screaming, cutting themselves as a form of worship to so Baal can come and just burn up this sacrifice. But guess what? Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Elijah actually mocked them. The word of God is he mocked them. He says, scream louder. Yell louder. Cut yourselves more. To no avail. Because you're not serving the true God. Isn't it wonderful when we can stand firm in our Lord, not to gloat, not to show off, but to know that we serve the true and living God? Isn't that a great assurance? Praise God. But who does that? The Holy Spirit gives us that assurance. And who does that? Because you were redeemed by the blood of Christ. You see, the enemy, the world will never see that unless Christ is in their hearts. Because only Christ brings the Spirit of God that reveals God to us and reveals the plans of God. Hallelujah. And that's the only way. Hallelujah. That we know the truth. So we sit here many times. And myself, I say, I get complacent. And I said, Lord, move me. Don't let me just do things material, habitual. Let me truly feel you. Because we could get into a habit, a routine, and just go through the motion. But Lord, I want more than that, Lord. And I know you want more than that. So God has a plan with you, just like he had a plan with Elijah. God has a plan to move you, to be that light unto the world that is so needed today. Praise God. And it's going to be needed in the next years and the upcoming years until the time that the Lord comes. But we know one thing. Based on the Bible, it's not going to get better. It's not going to get better. We could just pray for more power of God and that we could lead more people to the kingdom of God as the prophecies of God are fulfilled. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so now came time for Elijah to sacrifice, to put his bull, pieces of the bull, on the altar. But the first thing, you see, Elijah was commended and sent by God to do this. Elijah could have been a little haphazardly and just take that altar as it was and put the sacrifice on the altar. But he said, no. I'm going to honor God and follow his creed and his commandments to the fullest. You see, he goes, I want to be pleasing to God. I want this sacrifice not to only show that you're the true God. Oh, hallelujah. This is where you... Not to just show you the true God, but also to honor and glorify your name and to be obedient unto you. And what that means, he needed to fix that altar that would be pleasing to God. Hallelujah. We need to be pleasing to God. Our temple as the altar needs to be pleasing to God. And so we must set things in order each day of our lives. Not once a month, not every day, because the Lord is with us every day. The Lord tarries in our heart every day. Hallelujah. He watches for us every day. But so does the enemy. And so we don't want to leave holes where the enemy can come in. Hallelujah. And so he repaired the altar. And the first thing, he put 12 rocks as a unity. He put 12 rocks. He could put a 10. Why 10? Because the northern kingdom only had 10 tribes. But he also had in mind the two tribes of the south. Hallelujah. Because he wanted to honor God and be pleasing. Because it was never God's intention for the kingdoms to be separated. You see, when the kingdom divides, see, if the kingdom would have stayed together, The Persians, the Assyrians, all the enemies that probably attacked the northern first and then ended up taking the southern kingdom, probably would not, because there would have been a much bigger army, much bigger nation, a more powerful nation united as one. But because they had strife between each other, they decided to have different kings. And each king led them a different way and led them astray from the things of God. But that's why God wants unity in our churches. He doesn't want that church is no good. Well, brothers and sisters, I dare to say, and this is important, and I believe, well, you're looking for a pastor now. Amen. I'll keep that in prayer. Praise God. It's not easy. It's, by the way, you and many churches, but, and just as a side note, pray hard. Pray hard. Pray truly for your pastor, because there was a nice, there was an article that the AG sends out from headquarters up in Springfield. It was a nice article. I think the magazine is called Influential or Influence. Maybe one of you get it. Maybe the pastor gets or somebody. But it's a good publication. And they were talking about pastors, how so many churches are unchurched because there's no pastors. The pastorship office is being hard to be filled because there's many people are not, or people are not aspiring to be pastors anymore, and those who are just find it too hard, and so there's a lack of pastors. And so pray hard, and I'll pray together with you that the Lord finds a pastor, because that's a problem the AG is having. Until then, we do what Elijah did. You see, because we forget one thing: the pastor is the age of the church. But the pastor of the church is Christ. The head shepherd of the church is Christ. Amen. And see? And so you keep doing what you're doing in the name of Jesus. Amen. You keep praising the Lord. Amen. You keep being faithful to your church. You keep giving, because the Lord, it will be with you, and he will provide the person that he needs to put here. Until then, he'll use many of you. Praise God. An opportunity for you to also raise you and help each other, because we must keep our eyes fixed on the prize, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And nothing else. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord is good. And so he had to fix the altar, because he had to put that altar at the right place for God. He wanted to honor God, because he wanted to follow God's commandment fully, because he knew God wanted the altar a certain way. And he did it. He put rocks, wood, and he put the sacrifice. And he prayed to the Lord. He didn't yell, he didn't scream, he didn't, for hours, he prayed to the Lord. And instantaneously, praise God, hallelujah. And I should say this. The test was for fire to come from heaven and just take the sacrifice. What Elijah did went further. He put water, put four jars of water in the trench, and the trench got filled with water. People must have been saying, well, we're asking for fire, he's putting water on the sacrifice. But Elijah knew whom he served. Hallelujah. Do we know whom we serve? Hallelujah. Praise God. We serve an almighty God. We serve an, nothing impossible for our Lord. Nothing's impossible for our Lord. When we see, can't see it, he sees it. Hallelujah. And so he put jars of water in that trench. The Lord God sent fire onto that. Oh, but it went beyond just burning the sacrifice. He burned the rocks. He took the rocks out, he took the wood, took it in the dirt that was there. He left it completely clean. Hallelujah. As when the Lord takes us and when we're washed by his blood, our temple become clean in the eyes of God. Hallelujah. Praise the living God. Glory to God. That's what God does. Elijah put the test. Hallelujah. And the Lord answered. Glory to God. He knew that altar needed to be right unto God, so the fulfillment of that sacrifice, the Lord would be pleased. today I say, our temple needs to be in line with God. We must march over our temple. It is a sacrifice unto God. He looks at us each day as our own altar and a temple. And each day we ask for fire from God, and so that we can receive the blessing from God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Fire from heaven. And we know when fire from heaven comes, what happened? Oh, we know what happened to the disciples up in the upper room. Oh, the tongues of fire and how, oh Lord. Good things. Power comes. Strength comes. Hallelujah. Well, the sacrifice, the fire came, took all that was in that altar. God now said, take all those prophets from Baal and kill them. Praise God. It sounds crude in the Old Testament, I know. It sounds rough. But you know what I say many times? In my eyes, it does. But God knows what he's doing. Praise God. Those people were probably never, they were blasphemous. And there's some sins that cannot be forgiven. Even the Lord does not forgive those sins. And so he destroyed them. And the people came back to him. And the Bible says that all was this, and I'm reading from verse 37. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know you are God. O Lord, you are God. And this is Elijah, our God, and that you are turning their hearts back to him. The beauty about God is that it's always looking for our hearts to turn back to him. Everything he does is for us to stay in him or to turn back to him. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Our God is always looking for us. Hallelujah. He's doing everything possible for us to turn back to him. Amen. And to be led by him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Only then will the Holy Spirit be able to work in us and give us the power to keep moving forward in the will of God and obey his command. When we serve him in truth, when we sacrifice each day as he sacrificed himself on the cross for us. You know what? Excuse me. When I look at the total picture, sometimes I think about this, and I say, as loved ones around us pass away, my mother passed away 2 years ago, and other people since then that are loved. And many times out of the blue, you know, I wake up in the morning, I thank the Lord that I wake up healthy and I could go about my business. And I say, and then I get a chill, and I say, wow, what if I didn't wake up this morning? You know. And then I start thinking, where do we go? What is it, that waiting place? How is it going to be? What is it? And you know, I stop it. I say, I just know that I'm in Christ. And wherever I'm going to go after that, it's going to be good. Praise God. And that's what keeps me going. Praise God. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. And so all you ask me to do is each day is to walk in your steps. Each day to proclaim your name above all names. Each day to sacrifice myself and keep taking out those things that do not gratify you. Each day, speak differently. Each day, think differently. Think more and more like you. Because, Lord, you have redeemed me. You have bought me and set me free to live for you each day. Hallelujah. So that one day, I can meet you. Be caught up in the air, in the skies. So that I can live for you, with you forever and ever. And that is the blessed hope that you have today. And so today, the Lord says, are you ready for that day? Is your temple a sacrifice unto God? Have you been preparing your temple as Elijah prepared the altar for God to perform and for that sacrifice and to show the people the true God? Do we walk where we know that when people speak to us or the Holy Spirit's with us, we don't have to say anything, that the people know he is sealed, she is sealed by the Holy Spirit? And what comes out of my mouth, praise God. And so I don't know if the worship team would come and play a little song as we make an altar call. And this is the time of the service, praise God. If you all would please stand with me. This time of service, no matter what church I go to, somebody said one time, I always say this, he says, really, in essence, when you go to preach, I know there's great speakers, there's great motivational speakers, there's people that make you jump up and I want to run right to the altar, and there's speakers that are boring, that you fall asleep. I understand all that. But it's all it's about the true thing, what is the only true thing, the only thing that brings you to Christ is the Word of God and through His Holy Spirit. And this preacher said, all I should do is go to the altar and say, Jesus loves you. The only way to be saved is through Jesus. Come to the altar. And basically, yeah, that's true. So we go through this elaborate talking, but we understand. It's our culture. It's a way of kind of teaching more about the Bible so we can make this call. But this is the most important time of the service. It's a time of the service that the Holy Spirit right now is here, speaking to you, into your hearts, letting know your condition. It's a time of service that I will ask you to come. If you do not know Jesus, if you're not giving yourself as a sacrifice fully unto the Lord, this is the opportunity to come. Don't be embarrassed. There's a lot more embarrassing things than coming unto God. Hallelujah. This is a matter of life and death. You see, the Bible talks about sin as being death. And it's not talking about the physical death. It's talking about the eternal death, which is in the lake of fire. As we will say in straight words, hell. But the Lord today is here to save you. Hallelujah. To bring you to His presence, to let you know that He loves you, to let you know that you no longer have to be alone. No matter what you're going through, what trials, leave it unto Him, leave it unto the altar, so that He can take it from you and guide you through it. Hallelujah. Many times my prayer is not, Lord, don't take the trials and tribulations, just pull me through. Hallelujah. Pull me through. I'm not in heaven yet. There's going to be trials and tribulations. But how wonderful it is when we do with Jesus at our side. Hallelujah. And as the worship team, or my brother here, plays a song, sings, I'll wait a few minutes. If anybody wants to come, we pray for you. We'll pray for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Pray for each other. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Spirit of